Good day, everyone. This is Joshua back with the Final X Legends podcast. This is another installment of the Billion Dollar Writer Club. We're doing another take in the creator standouts. Today we have a Miss Pat Backley, who is an amazing creative mind and is just a charming woman. She's already got me feeling very energetic, and I'm very happy to have her on this show. Miss Pat, would you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you so much, Joshua. Well, hi everyone. My name is Pat Backley. I live in New Zealand, and as you probably know, COVID is not so bad here as everywhere else in the world, but we did go into lockdown last March, and I spent the first 2 weeks lying on the sofa, feeling very sorry for myself, watching rubbish on Netflix and eating far too much chocolate. And then I thought, Pat, just get a grip, do something. So I decided to write a book. Very exciting. It took me 6 weeks, then I sent it off to editors, etc., and it was published in October. It's called Daisy. It's a historical family saga spanning almost 100 years from 1887 to 1974, and it touches on some of the evils of society, like poverty, racism, snobbery, and also some of the best things in life: family, love, friendship. So basically, I wrote it from my heart. It just came. I realize reading it back now that I have used a lot of my life experiences to draw on. Obviously, I'm not more than 100 years old, sadly. I would like to live to 100, and I want to still carry on writing when I'm 100.
Oh, you will.
Even if it's garbage and people don't want to read it, I will enjoy writing it. I found that I just love my new career. I will be 70 years old in March, and this is the best career I've ever had in my whole entire life. And it's so unexpected, and I'm so excited. It's just absolutely fabulous. So, okay, Joshua, I've probably said enough.
No, that is amazing. I was actually listening to you because I'm charmed. I'm moved by your energy and passion. I can actually genuinely feel and hear your love for yourself, for your life, for those around you. I can hear how grateful you are for your experiences, for you to be able to have them and influence your writing. I love that you just wrote, and then you look back on it after you read it, and you're like, wow, this is kind of based off of me, which is something that's natural. You know, a lot of us can write stories that, you know, have characters that are completely different from you and whatnot, but it's very nice. Like I do a lot of planning before I write, so my stories always have my experiences. But to hear that you just wrote and wrote from the heart, that's something that a lot of us out here need to hear. You know, just write it, put it out there, and then the fact that you killed it. 6 weeks, you wrote it, you edited it, you made it, you put it out there, you published it, you made it happen. And I respect that a lot.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, I had a pretty rough 2 years leading up to it. My husband of 26 years suddenly announced that he didn't love me anymore, hadn't loved me properly for years, and dumped me.
Wow.
He dumped me while we were in England visiting our daughter, and I had to come back to New Zealand alone. You can probably tell by my accent that I'm not a natural Kiwi. I'm a pretend Kiwi. I've only been here 10 years. I grew up in England. So basically I'd had a pretty rough 2 years. So this is an even better outcome because I think when you've been through hard times, you appreciate the good times even more.
That you do. And I'm sorry that you had to go through that. No, nobody. Oh, yeah. It's never easy to go through a heartache, especially one where you're married and have children together and a life together. So I applaud you for being strong enough to get through that and still be here, because these are circumstances that tend to depress people and take them from us too soon. So I'm glad that you have made it through and have, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of that pain and anguish you went through at that point influenced certain scenes in chapters in your book.
Yeah, kind of. Although something that's more true to my life is I've just also finished my memoirs. So that's being edited at the moment. Will be published probably in March, April. And that's my life. So that's kind of the nitty gritty, whereas Daisy is a novel. But I I have written, or in my head, I've written three more novels. So they'll be hopefully published this year. And I've just contributed a short story to a charity anthology. And I've just been asked, this is the most exciting thing, I've just been asked to collaborate on a coffee table book, which again is coming out probably in April, being from the States, from a very lovely lady I met there online. And it's called The Warrior Women Project, Sisterhood of Immigration. So that's a hugely exciting project that I've just signed up to. And it's just like 100 women all telling their immigration stories.
That's beautiful. I can only imagine what trials and tribulations everyone has been through. You know, something that I'm becoming exactly what I've always been afraid to become, and that's a motivational activist. I actually I have the ability to see things like I'm here in Miami, Florida, you know, in the USA, but I have the ability right now to see that there are people being, you know, abused and tortured and at certain borders. I'm not oblivious to, be very real. If you guys are putting this together, then I hope that you are providing realness, but I could only imagine the amount of, you know, men who have been, you know, murdered while trying to, you know, cross the border and immigrate. And then they're that person is taken away from, you know, a wife who has, you know, two children or three children and or a family, she's trying to get, you know, immigrated into America or to flee their country, you know, and I can only imagine the hardships. Like, I'm very well aware to the fact that there are probably some terrible things that have happened to women, you know, from physical and sexual abuse to psychological abuse. We were even well aware that there are people who will, you know, literally use, you know, women and children as mules for drugs, literally cut them open or have them swallow drugs and stuff and cross borders and stuff. And it's, I can only imagine what someone will put themselves through to be able to taste and touch freedom. So I'm very happy that you are, you know, a part of a project like that.
It's hugely exciting. I'm very honored to be part of it. Really exciting.
Well, we're going to take a real quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to dive into more of who you are and your amazing works and a lot of your other inspirations. I want to touch on some entertainment inspirations. How you doing, everybody? We're back. Pat and I were jumping into a subject regarding some reviews that she got, some negative reviews that she received. Pat, would you fill us in about the reviews?
Yes, of course. Well, I'm delighted that most of my reviews have been very good, but I have had a couple from middle-aged ladies, which I don't mean to sound rude, but I think it's kind of indicative of perhaps how they feel about things, who both said that there were too many characters. Now, bearing in mind that my book travels almost 100 years, there's going to be quite a lot of characters, but apparently there were too many characters and they were all too nice. There weren't enough unpleasant people in the book. There are actually a few unpleasant people, but I've only skimmed over them because I wanted the book to be entertaining and to lift people's spirits rather than drag them down. But I just found it rather sad that people would feel that was a bad thing about a book, that it was that there were too many people and they were too nice. But yeah. Anyway, that's obviously me. I obviously like nice people.
Yes.
And lots of people. So,
you know, there was actually about a decade ago, I was trying to work on a story. And I remember that I wanted to create a story where there wasn't like a main villain. Like, I still wanted like the hero's journey and, you know, that type of story. But I had a lot of people on the internet because I sought out, you know, I went on Facebook and Instagram and stuff and asked people, you know, their opinions. And a lot of people were like, well, humans are inherently bad and this and that. And, you know, just dumping on, you know, the human existence. And it's like, why are you doing this? Like, why are you comfortable with saying that we're just like trashy people and we just pollute and we this and we that? Like, we can do better. We do good. There are a lot of beautiful things about humanity, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, even right now, as you and I are speaking, someone is getting married, someone has given birth to their firstborn, secondborn, third child. You know, right now, you know, somebody's getting ready to, you know, take the love of their life out on the first date and make memories. You know, it's all going down. You know, beautiful things that are happening all around us.
And yeah. I mean, my book is based in Alabama, Harlem, and London. Mm-hmm. So I was worried about whether I portrayed the right things about America, because obviously I'm English, although I live in New Zealand. But the vast majority of the reviews have really, really seem to like how I've, because I touch on racism and stuff like that, and poverty. So I'm not absolutely sure how that can be viewed, that I'm writing about people who are too nice, because obviously stuff like racism isn't nice, and slavery, and, you know, but anyway. Yeah. I guess we're all allowed our opinions, aren't we?
Yeah, and it's funny, though, like you said, this is, you know, it's funny how, like, when I was growing up, I was never blind to the sins of humanity. Never, not once. Not, you know, I remember being 6 and 7 years old and being able to I was watching TV with my mom. I remember, you know, watching the Academy Awards or something. And something that always stood out to me is it, like, the movies that were, like, the most prized and most worshipped were the movies that essentially highlighted, you know, for lack of better terms, white supremacy. It's like we got, you know, the movies, old House on the Prairie type deal, or this Western deal. And it was like, man, like, even at the age, and we're talking about, we're in the early 90s now, like, you know, when I was that age, you know. And I'm like, man, it was like these people really, really pander towards, like, that horrible time period, and really just, yeah. You know. And then I wasn't even blind to the fact of thinking that, dang, people got together, invested money into acting this out and making this happen. Like, I get the movie 12 Years a Slave was this national amazing movie or whatever. And I watched it. And whenever I watch movies like that, all I see is people wanting to play Massa and people wanting to play Jigaboo Toby. You couldn't pay me enough money to reenact some slavery shit. You couldn't give me enough money to pretend to get whipped and relive that. You know, the easiest way to get rid of all that racism and whatnot is to literally let it die out. You know, because people sit there and watch those movies, you know, let's keep it real. Some people watch those movies and they think to themselves, wow, I really wish I could just, you know, have me some slaves and just beat them and whip them whenever I want.
Oh, don't. That's horrible. It's not true.
But I'm not blind to humanity and their secrecies and their skeletons in their closets. Because if that wasn't true, if what I just said wasn't true, we wouldn't have racism right now.
No, you're absolutely right. That's absolutely true. I agree entirely. Well, in my book, I've quoted Harriet Tubman, you know, the
of course,
slavery. One of my characters, it quotes her where she says, I've lived, words to the effect of, I've lived through slavery. I don't want to see it on any stage or in any theater. Exactly. And I mean, that was in the 1800s, she said that. So, you know, what you're saying now is exactly the same, really, isn't it? The trouble is, we never learn from history, do we?
No, there's that whole thing, oh, we got to study history so it doesn't repeat itself, is a lie. I've always thought of that as a lie. And you want to know why that's a lie? Because we know that things can go extinct on this planet, and then those things are forgotten. You know, does anybody go around talking about a dodo bird, or you know? Yeah, we talk about dinosaurs and stuff like that because we keep their skeletons and stuff around, and, you know, put them in museums and make movies. But, you know, I know for a fact that there have been actual tribes of people that have been wiped off the face of the earth, and they're no longer here, you know, and if by some way all of the text and information about those people were to be deleted, they would be erased from history. So what I'm saying is it is actually possible for human beings to actually 100% weed out things like racism and, men abusing their rights and powers over women in third world countries. Yeah. And even in America, you know, establishing a stronger sense of equality and unity. So,
yeah,
That's something like that would take hundreds of years because of the resistance. Unfortunately, we will not live long enough to see that, and hopefully it does go in the right direction, because like we stated, I don't remember if it was in this conversation or the last, but this world is not in a healthy state. It's not.
Oh, absolutely not.
And it's sad that I actually feel like the people are healthier than the leaders. Like I don't get how the leaders are not in a healthy mindset. Like, you know, we have like people like me and you, we're regular people out here trying to do what we got to do every day. And look at us, beautiful conversation. Yep. We're good. We're loving, we're sharing. And then you got these they can't have humanity because you know, like, I'm going to say something that I've been speaking to a lot of people about. And, you know, I myself, I'm thinking about, you know, running for president one day now. And that's because if Donald Trump can go and become president with his lack of political anything, I mean, yeah, he probably knew a lot of politicians, funded a lot of politicians and stuff like that. But he was never a senator, never in Congress or anything. He just jumped to being president. One thing I'll say about him is he's the quote unquote leader of the free world, right? Has Donald Trump ever, have you ever seen or heard of Donald Trump ever addressing the United States or the world and then people feeling comforted and good when he's done speaking?
Absolutely not.
So why do we have a man like that leading? Like, is like, you want to know why I'm going to go ahead and become president now? Because I remember when I was a kid, And I wanted that dream. And the reason I wanted that dream is because I believed the president was someone to look up to. I would never want anybody, not a man nor child, to look up to that man. Like, anybody who does look up to him are corrupted human beings who do things like storm the Capitol, you know?
Shocking, wasn't it? So shocking. I mean, in the rest of the world, we all just looked on that with our mouths open.
I wasn't shocked.
Horrendous.
Everything that's happened is literally what we all thought was going to happen when he became president. Nobody needs to be shocked about anything. Oh no, Donald Trump's president, and he's in sex scandals with busty porn stars. I could have saw that happening. Oh no, Donald Trump's about to get impeached. Oh, could have saw that happening. Oh no, coronavirus happened and Donald Trump didn't tell his people. I could have told you that was going to happen. You know, Jesus, y'all keep acting like y'all didn't see this coming.
I love your passion. I just love your passion.
Yeah.
I love people who are passionate. I don't care what they're passionate about, as long as they're passionate about something.
I'm passionate about
And so many people in this world aren't passionate about anything, are they?
He's not passionate. Like, I was actually literally just watching his presidential address last night. And it was sad. I think it was last night or the night before, because I'm like, the only reason he's trying to say something now is because they're trying to impeach him and get him out under the 25th Amendment. And it's like, dude, you failed, bro. Let's take everything out the way. You got this, your country, and people out here killing each other on camera and getting away with it. You got people gunning down innocent people. You got riots out here. You got people storming the Capitol. I follow a lot of things, like, you know, nukes. Apparently, on December 17th, and you can go look this up and whatnot, but for a small time period, America lost control of their nukes. And it's like, bro, what? Like, who do we lose our nukes to? Who hacked them? Who did this? How did this happen? Like, you can't be the president and be, you know, slipping. And on top of that, like, my thing is, at the end of the day, let's say you get your way. Let's say you get your way, Mr. Trump, Mr. Donald D.W., you know, let's say you get it. Who wins? Because at this point, I really want to know, like, what are races, like, ultimate goal? Like, would you be happy if, like, you were the only race on this planet? No, you wouldn't, because your lazy ass ain't gonna go do certain works that, you know, other people do, you know? And it's like, I honestly, at this point, almost want to write a book about, like, God coming to Earth or some event. Like, imagine a story where, like, I've actually been thinking about a story where like there's a white woman, she's married to a black man and has a little mixed girl or whatnot, and she wakes up one morning and they're gone. And every person of color in the world is gone. The only people that exist are just white people of pure blood, white descent. Not even if you had any form of anything, you're gone. You're off earth.
That's awful, but a great plot for a book.
Yes,
it's an awful idea, but a great plot for a book.
Yes, and I want to actually touch on, because the thing is, I believe as soon as an event like that would happen, it like human beings would literally try. At least I would think that the people left would realize, like, shit, you know, this world really functioned on, you know, diversity. It thrived on different cultures. You know, like. The reason why we have, like, and me personally, this is the reason why I truly believe that we have different cultures and ethnicities is, and I believe this dates back to God. Like, I believe when God was created, like, before everything was created, and, you know, I try to think, like, you know, if I was God and I exist in nothingness by myself, and I tried to create something, and, you know, the first thing I would create would be, like, almost a clone of me, but this clone of me, it follows me. It listens to me. It does everything I say. How do I get this thing to have free will and do its own thing? Well, the only way you can create free will is to have, you know, a freedom of choice. And the only way to have choice is to have different things to choose from. So if everyone is the same and everyone creates the same, then there is no choice. So you have to create different cultures, different religions, different people. So they inspire different architects and different forms of music and different dance and whatnot, so they can have free will, freedom of choice, because there are choices now. And I believe, you know, racism is not even like the opposite of anything. I just think it's just blatant stupidity and the ability to not understand that if everything else didn't exist, you know, that you had, like, literally, you wouldn't have Elvis if he had never been inspired by a lot of, you know, the black slaves and folks that he had. No, listen, like, everybody knows, like, even though Elvis is great, a lot of his moves and music were inspired by, I don't know exactly who the African-American person was, but look at Michael Jackson, you know, now let's look at Justin Bieber. Who was Justin Bieber inspired by, you know, to dance and move and sing the way he does, and Chris Brown, you know, like, look how things inspire one another and transcend and whatnot, you know.
You're quite right. You'll be interested that I've got very eclectic taste in music, but my absolute favorites are Tamla, Motown, and Soul.
Really?
Yeah, absolute favorites. They always have been since, because obviously that was my era pretty much. But you're right. I mean, the black artists were the ones who really, really changed the music scene.
Yeah.
And I love anything played on the saxophone.
Oh, yeah. Like, I grew up, my first favorite genre of music was jazz.
Yeah. Jazz is great.
Love me some jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like I was saying before, I definitely want to connect you with Wajiha. Her name is Wajiha Abbasi, and she is an activist that lives in Pakistan. She's very big on spreading love, and she I definitely would love to have the two of you on, you know, on a show here in the future. I'm going to coordinate that, because you two definitely, you know, you come from a lot of the same light energy, and I believe you two connecting would be able to make you both grow in strength and power. So
that sounds,
yeah, it'd be a beautiful thing, and I would love for it to happen. I'm going to make it happen.
Okay. Isn't it wonderful, Joshua, that with all this Zoom and stuff, we're able to connect with complete strangers across the world? It's like we're finding our tribes.
Exactly. And I love the something that exists in my own personal story is that the internet itself, since its inception, was to be used as a way of human beings connecting. And I say this, like, imagine, you know, hundreds of years ago when human beings would wish that they could talk to someone across the world and connect with someone. And, you know, with the internet, we can do that. Someone can be, you can have someone in Australia who's completely depressed and going through the worst times and about to kill themselves, but they can get online on Facebook and say, hey, I'm going through a rough time. You know, if anybody can talk to me, I greatly appreciate it. And somebody will through the great ether of the internet, be able to reach that person and help them. And that is something that is to be used for a good connection and a beautiful spark. The sad thing, though, is that the internet has become infected with a lot of maliciousness. You know, just keep it real. You could Google child pornography. You literally can get on this little device that we got right here and look up children being hurt and sexually molested. You know,
that's disgusting.
You can go on this computer and look up and type up people getting their heads cut off. You can go and look up all sorts of obscene pornography. You can find rape scenes. There was even one thing that I heard about where there was a woman that had been raped, and her rapist filmed it and put it on the website Pornhub, and she had to literally go to court to have them take it down. And it's like, we live in a world where this company was they were more concerned about the money they were making from the people viewing her rape than taking this down. You know, so they were more concerned about, you know, the money, but weren't concerned about the evil and vileness that video is putting out. Like, who knows how many millions of people, and let's face it, I came across the website, you know, Pornhub when I was very young. So I'm pretty sure that, you know, there was some teenagers that saw that, and that's going to breed the mindset of, you know, toxic masculinity. You know, now I do believe in, you know, being a man and being dominant and in the bedroom, you know, having a dom and submissive and going back and forth between the power struggle. But I don't believe in going out there and raping and having any form of non-consensual sex. So, that just touches on the negativities that exist in the internet now, and the fact that we have to, you know, police this up and let it be a place of just beauty and strength.
Because it is a worry for our young people. You know, they've got access to so much dreadful stuff.
Yeah.
That you don't want their minds to be so warped. I mean, I grew up, there was nothing. Even the television was very highly censored. So nothing ever touched me. I mean, it did mean that we were more naive, I guess, which made us more vulnerable. But also our mind wasn't clogged full of all this crap.
Yep.
That worries me for the young people now, because they're just seeing things that aren't or shouldn't be real life.
Mm-mm. They haven't. I mean, they shouldn't be seeing, you know, a lot of these things. But no. Miss Pat, we're going to have to conclude today's little webisode. I'm definitely bringing you back on the show.
I've taken too much of your time. I'm sorry.
No, and I did a lot of talking myself. So, but it's been a wonderful experience, and it's been lovely getting to know you. Once again, can you let everybody here know where they can get in contact with you, or, you know, purchase your books?
Yeah. Well, my website is probably the best way of finding out a bit more about me, and that's just www.patbackley.com. My book is available on Amazon and Book Depository and Barnes & Noble and Walmart and kind of all of those places. And at the moment, the ebook, the Kindle, is just 99 cents and will stay at that price probably until coronavirus has gone away, because I just want as many people who want to read it to have a chance.
Beautiful. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Miss Pat Backley. I'm going to make sure that her links are in the description so you guys know how to get in touch with her. She will not be too far away. If you want to get directly in touch with her, but, you know, don't have the links, you can reach out to me and I will put you directly in touch with her. But like I said, her links will be in the description. This has been another episode of Final X Legends Podcast, the Billion Dollars Writer Club. Creator standout, Pat Backley. Wonderful author. And soon to be great script writer and have amazing shows out there. We look forward to her work, and we'll see you guys soon. We love you all. Take care. Bye.